It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Martha McCallum.
I'm Bill Hemmer.
I'm Shannon Bream, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, May 19th, 2021. I'm Eben Brown. As Ukraine fights off Russian attackers, it tries its first captured Russian soldier for crimes of war, while it watches other historically neutral European states join the military alliance it so desperately wishes to be part of.
This is a war crime trial happening while the war is raging in the country where it is raging.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ukraine continues to defend itself against Russian fighters in a war that is now reaching 3 months in length with no signs of stopping. Ukraine is also trying its first captured Russian for war crimes, and it's watching as Sweden and Finland make their case to join NATO, whereas they've insisted on non-alliance for decades, something that will change how Europe functions forever.
This is a big, big shift for those countries, for Finland, Sweden, and for NATO. For years, literally for decades, in the case of Sweden, for two centuries, they followed a policy of, if not neutrality, at least non-alignment.
Greg Palcott is Fox News senior foreign correspondent. He speaks to us from the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv.
Both officials of both countries are saying that because of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, everything has changed. Everything's gone out the window. They've got majorities in both of their parliaments, both of their governments to go forward with this. And maybe even more importantly, they've got the public behind them, too, on this. That shows you really how amazingly strong and impactful this Russian invasion of Ukraine has been to the region. It's absolutely changed all the rules, Evan.
And that brings us back to the question of Ukraine, which by and large would probably love to join NATO, especially right now. But there isn't a lot of support within NATO countries to let them in. I think there is a rule that you can't be actively in the middle of a war to apply for NATO membership. But putting that aside, NATO in Europe, I think specifically, has just been really not warm to the idea. So how is Ukraine liking or not liking the fact that these two European nations, which for so long didn't really want to be part of NATO, now might be welcomed with open arms?
Well, I think, Evan, to answer your question in a couple parts, number one, I think they're pleased. I think Ukraine is pleased that Finland and Sweden is now joining up too as well, or looks like it will join up with NATO. Anything that makes NATO bigger, more powerful, stronger is a good thing for Ukraine. Ukraine, yes, would love to be a part of NATO for one huge reason that if, for example, before this Russian invasion started, it had been a part of NATO. Then the minute one Russian soldier put one foot across the border, then that would trigger Article 5 of the NATO Western Alliance. And that is basically they'd have to come down hard on Russia. But yeah, there are a little bit of technicalities in the membership process that says if you are having a border dispute, if you are having some issues of your territory, which is being in controversial mode, then, yeah, you can't join up from NATO at that time. But, yeah, I spoke with former President Petro Poroshenko just a short while ago, and he says, listen, you know, no one should tell us what to do. No one, Putin should not say yes or no, you can't be in it. We should have the right to do it, too. So they love it, but they know for now it's not practical.
Tell me more about your conversation with the former president. What other things did he bring up to you?
No, he was amazing. He said, well, you know, Greg, we need one thing. No, actually, he said, Greg, we need three things. One, weapons. Two, weapons. Three, weapons. So he's very strong on the fact that the Ukrainian soldiers, as the whole world, as the U.S. and the world has seen, are doing an incredible job, but they need more arms. And they're getting it. We just saw U.S. Congress today, the Senate approve a $40 billion package, which includes a lot of that is military. And if they get the arms on the small scale, these anti-tank Javelin missiles, for example, they're doing very well. And now as the battle shifts into a heavier duty kind of war, that is a more fixed front lines, then they're looking for, and they're getting already from the United States, artillery, which can help them blast away.
One of the things that it's the request for that seems to have maybe gone by the wayside, or it certainly isn't making the headlines anymore, is this request or a plea even for a no-fly zone, as the Ukrainians said, help us close the skies. Has that message gotten through that the United States just isn't going to do that, or is that still something that the Ukrainians are still asking for, but maybe not so publicly?
Yeah, I think, Evan, that's been put to the side right now. This is tour or three for me here in Ukraine. And in the first two tours, we kept hearing the people talking about that. Please close the skies. Please, NATO, do that. This time around, we're hearing less of it because NATO has made clear, the United States has made clear, the minute you set up a no-fly zone, well, it's not just you're watching by the sidelines. Maybe you've got a helicopter or a jet fighter hovering over in Poland. The minute that Russia would violate that no-fly zone, would bring a missile over or bring a plane over Ukrainian airspace, then the U.S. and NATO would have to attack that, and then you're right into a war with Russia, which is the kind of thing that the United States does not want.
We've been speaking with Fox News correspondent Greg Palcut. He's once again in Kyiv reporting on the ongoing war. On the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine, we'll have more with Greg Palcut straight ahead. Aside from the military aspect of all this policy, the U.S. reopened its embassy in Kyiv. The representatives, I believe, are there. What exactly is this embassy doing? Are they taking a lot of requests for asylum, for visas? Exactly, what is the main task of the embassy staff now that they're functioning again or plan to be functioning very soon?
Yeah, Evan, they raised the flag sort of ceremonially last night, opening up the embassy after it had been closed for 3 months. Remember, the diplomats left here even before the Russians had invaded Ukraine. So now they're up and running. We had a good conversation with the acting ambassador here, Christina Kavine, and she said basically the most important thing is face-to-face. So she can go, you know, she can go 20-minute drive over to the presidential palace and be able to talk to Volodymyr Zelensky, or she can deal face-to-face with a foreign minister here, or she can deal with other allied countries and organizing things here. So it's on the ground. They're happy to be back, and just about all, or a good majority of the embassies now are up and running again, because for the moment at least, touch wood, Ukraine is Kyiv is a fairly safe city to be in.
Some of the things that most people have gotten to see about this war have been rather scary, rather brutal. These images of what one could only really describe as wartime atrocities. I think the world is certainly sympathetic, no matter what they might feel about this war. A 21-year-old Russian soldier was in court accused of killing an unarmed civilian, a 62-year-old. How is that court proceeding going? And what more could be expected from these types of things? The Ukrainians have said in no uncertain terms they plan to hold every war criminal accountable for what they've done. And that would mean anything from commanders ordering massacres to the low-level soldiers who would carry them out. How are things moving in that court proceeding?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, Evan. This is a war crime trial happening while the war is raging in the country where it is raging. I mean, I think your listeners, of course, will remember, at least from the history books, the Nuremberg trials after World War II was over, the Nazi officials being put in the dock. This is going on right now, and a very dramatic back and forth today. This is the second day of the trial. You actually had the widow of the 62-year-old man who was killed by this 21-year-old Russian soldier, or accused of killing the 62-year-old man, that the widow said directly to the face of the 21-year-old soldier, "Are you sorry for what you did? Will you repent for what you did?" Remember, because he admits that he actually did it. And the soldier replied, I know you will not accept my forgiveness, but please, I offer you my deepest forgiveness." Now, this is a little bit touchy, Evan, this kind of a trial. Yes, they say they've got, the Ukrainian officials say they've got at least 21 more hard cases firmed up right now, and literally they're investigating thousands. But to do it right now opens the Ukraine up to another issue with their own prisoners of war. So let me flip the switch on that and explain that some 1,700 Ukrainian fighters have surrendered from the Mariupol steel mill where they were held up. And now the Russians are saying, "Hey, listen, we might try a few of these guys for war crimes." So it's tricky. It's a tricky tightrope that Ukraine is walking. And it's certainly a lot of pent-up emotions and feelings about the utter brutalities that Russia has done, but it's still a little bit of a sensitive field.
Have the Ukrainian either prosecutors or government officials said what might become of this Russian soldier they're trying now, what type of punishment he might face?
Yeah, they're saying it's a life in prison if he's found guilty, and he's already admitted to the crime, so that seems to be straightforward. But again, Moscow is calling this a sham trial, and it's just, you know, one more arena of propaganda to be active right now.
Greg Palcott, Fox News correspondent for us in Kyiv, thank you so much for joining us on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Thank you, Evan.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.